It's been a while since I've done this song. Just a really exciting song. Talks about Jesus' return. When we'll all go up to be with him. It's a midnight cry.
Mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as he says, "Son, go get your children at the midnight cry. We'll be going home." As Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And in those that he made shall be quickly changed. At the midnight ride, we'll be going home. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, "Son, go get your children at the midnight cry. The bride of Christ will rise." When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him. Quickly change, and at the midnight cry, and at the midnight cry, and then those that remain shall be quickly changed. Let the midnight cry, let the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes again.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The next 3 weeks, we're going to be in chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. There are three things that I want to be able to share with you over the next 3 weeks concerning this particular verse. It's a dynamic verse. When you break it down, when you look at it, when you pour your heart into it and then stop long enough to try and realize what it is that God is trying to tell us through Scripture. So we're going to take some time. We're going to just kind of march our way through 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 over the next 3 weeks. So settle in with it. Get good and comfortable with it. When you're at home, I want you to read over it and to read through it so that you can see. Start from the very beginning and read through at least chapter 1 so that you can really kind of see a big picture about what's going on with John and in his world as he writes this. I got some information this morning I want to share with you. Thank you for that, by the way. But 57 times in the book of John, the word love is mentioned. Also, the word to know is mentioned about 39 different times in the book of John. So it's an amazing book, and we're going to be talking about this morning over the next few weeks. Fellowship with God and what fellowship with God looks like for you and for me. So the question I want to ask you this morning is, are you in or are you out? You think about that for a moment. Big picture, are you in or are you out concerning fellowship with God? I was going to announce this morning, I've talked to a few people, and I want the church as a whole to really be on the same page for as far as the direction we're going. That's my heart. You know that. I want that. And so we've missed some opportunities to have some fellowship meals in the past. The year before last, we had one after another, and we kind of took a break. The 14th of June, we're going to have a fellowship meal. We're going to spend some time together. We're going to talk. We're going to love on one another. So bring all of your goodies, everything that you know that I like. You make sure you bring that June the 14th. Because, right, it's all about me, right? But we're going to have a wonderful time fellowshipping with one another. And in the process of us fellowshipping with one another, I want to go in and share with you this morning as I've talked with a few people to try and to get some input, because Scripture says that there's wisdom in the counsel of many. And so I want to do that. I want to make sure that we're making wise decisions and that as the pastor that I'm leading well. So this is my hope, and this was my question. Is it too much for us as a congregation the last Sunday of the month, the last Sunday of every month, for us to begin to have a fellowship meal? Right? Think about it. The last Sunday of the month for us to have a fellowship meal. Sometimes it can just be sandwiches. Sometimes it can just be ice cream. But it's an opportunity for the church. It's an opportunity for us to spend time in a koinonia atmosphere. That's the Greek word for fellowship. Community. It's an opportunity for you and I to spend time together, loving on one another, hearing from one another, and just growing the kingdom of God, or seeing what we can do to grow the kingdom of God. Also, it's going to kind of serve another role for us. It's going to give me an opportunity to keep what's going on at First Baptist Church right in front of you. So we're going to meet, we're going to eat, we're going to fellowship, we're going to love on one another, and then we're going to cast vision. That's the goal. That's our hope. And we're going to do this as a body of believers together. Does that sound okay? Amen? Does it sound? Because our goal is that we be able to fellowship with one another. Now, the Scripture this morning is important that you get it, because it's not talking about relationship. It's talking about fellowship, and it's talking about fellowship with God. So really, there's a couple of words I want to kind of, you've heard me make mention of it a little bit. We get confused a lot of times when it comes to relationship and fellowship. Here's what relationship is. You're in relationship with God the Father through His Son, Jesus the Christ, God the Father, God the Son. You're in relationship with God the Father when you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Understand, that's relationship. You'll always be in relationship with God the Father. Literally, you become a child of God, and as a child of God, you'll always and forever be a child of God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. And so that's relationship. And I love my relationship with King Jesus. I know I'm going to trip before the day's over, and you're going to laugh. So I can't stay still. It's impossible. Relationship, right? Right now I'm in relationship with this podium, and it's not going to work long because my feet need to be moving right now. So fellowship is when you and I come together. This is what the scripture is going to be talking about this morning. We're going to look at this. We're going to get it. I don't know why I've already turned to 2 Peter, but we're not going to be in 2 Peter. We're going to be in 1 John. So let me mark that. So fellowship, it's really neat. It's this Greek word called koinonia. You heard me mention it a while ago. Koinonia is about community. Koinonia is about commonality. It's about having a common reference. It's about having a common relationship. And the one thing that we're going to see through the scripture this morning is you can very much be in relationship with God the Father, but be out of fellowship with God the Father. So I need you to be able to see that. And community is important. It's important that we spend time together, but it's more important that we spend time fellowshipping with God the Father. Amen? It's so important that we spend time with God the Father, that we're in fellowship with Him. Now let me ask you a question. What is it that allows us to be in fellowship with one another and with God the Father? What is the commonality? What is it that holds us together? It is Jesus Christ, our commonality. That's what you and I need to hold on to. We don't need to hold on to the world. We don't need to hold on to our neighbors. We need to hold on to Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that even when our grip releases just a little bit, that He's holding on to us. Amen? So thankful for that. So really, there's three things that I want to be able to share with you this morning concerning what our fellowship with God looks like. So here is the question. You see this on the back of your bulletins this morning. What is the foundation of our fellowship with God? Prayerfully, we're going to be able to answer that this morning. What is the foundation of our fellowship with God? So in honor of... I want to ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. All right? 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Now, this is the message that we have heard from Him and declared to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in Him. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen? Amen. Pray with me. Father in heaven, Lord, today, in the matchless name of Jesus, we approach Your throne of grace with joy in our hearts because of our relationship with You through the blood of Jesus. But Father, this morning we're talking about fellowship. And it's easy for us to be in and out of fellowship with You. It's based on our spiritual temperature. Father, I pray this morning that we have a high spiritual temperature this morning. And I pray that it's something that as we stay closely connected with You, that we grow in that fellowship as we grow in our relationship. So this morning, Father, as we study a portion of Your Word, I pray in advance that You and You alone will be honored and glorified. Speak to our hearts, Father, today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we are, the foundation of our fellowship. And we've seen through the Scripture, this is what the Scripture says, there's a message that has been proclaimed. There's the idea, there's some issue. Gnosticism was a very, very big deal. That you had to have a special knowledge. There were people that were infiltrating the church. You had to have a special knowledge in order for you to be able to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And John was writing to refute that. He was writing so that you would know the basics of knowing Jesus personally, of having a relationship with Him, and of being able to fellowship with Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so he was breaking down those barriers that these false prophets had come into the church and were spreading, these lies straight from the pits of hell. And I love what he says. He says this. He says, now this is the message that we have heard from Him, we declare to you. God is light. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. I went back there a while ago and I looked for a flashlight because I wanted to try and illustrate this the best I could about the difference between light and darkness. But you really already know the difference between light and darkness, right? Some of you are scared of the dark. I know this because you've told me. And some of you are scared of the light. I know this because you've told me. Brad McDaniel is scared even to go out in his backyard if the sun is up because he's scared that a sheep might attack him. Now, I don't know, you've got probably 100 or 200 heads of sheep, right? And so, you know, he's scared they're going to come start nibbling on him or something. But really, there's a difference here in the scripture that I need you to see. It says this. It says that this message has been declared. He had heard from the Father, and it declared to you that God is light. So this morning, the foundation of our fellowship with God, I need you to get this before we can move any further. The foundation of our fellowship is God's nature. Isn't it great to know that being in relationship with God and in fellowship with God, the relationship with God has absolutely nothing to do with you, but everything to do with Him through the blood of Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that? Think about it for a moment. If my salvation is dependent upon the nature of God, then it's based on what He did at Calvary. It isn't based on anything that I could ever do other than confess my sin. My obligation in all of this is to confess my sin and trust Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. That's my part of the deal. That's what I have to do. I have to just acknowledge my sin. I'm a sinner. Amen or oh me. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm good at what I do. I'm good at messing up and I'm good at sinning. And that's why the scripture powerfully states this morning about this message that God is light and in Him there's absolutely no darkness at all. There's no sin in God. As we break these down in a few minutes, you're going to be able to see all of these as we talk about the foundation of God or the foundation of our fellowship with God. And so this is the message that we have heard from Him and we declare to you that God is light. That nature. The nature of God. So, three things under the foundation of God, being the nature of God being that foundation. Number one is this, because it's all referring to light. And number one thing that I need to share with you is light refers to God's glory. Isn't it amazing when we think about light, we just look up and we see? It'd be hard for us to function without light, right? It really would. We'd be walking around like zombies or something, and we'd be running into everything. If there were no light, then our eyes would eventually adjust so much to the dark that if we entered into light, if we were in darkness over a long period of time, if we did at some point enter into darkness, that we would be blinded by the light. And so there is a very real need for light in this world. And so I love the scripture as it's talking about what it means, the Bible says, about God being light. So there are at least three ideas really concerning God. And first, it's refers to God's glory, physically speaking. And really, it's a beautiful Old Testament picture. You know, a great thing about the Bible is that Scripture paints pictures. And in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 1, it's beautiful because in the very beginning, when God created light, in the Hebrew, it said, light be. So when God spoke, He simply stated, light be. He didn't have to say, I'm creating light, and so I just want it to be created. He said, light be. And because He is God, light knew exactly what God meant. Isn't that a great picture about the nature of God? Isn't it great to know that God is able to speak things into existence in such a way that all He has to do is say, be, and it responds. And so God said, light be. And when we look at this and break this word down, it's really about the Shekinah glory of God. And you've heard me mention this word before. It's a really neat word. And it really is a picture of the radiance of God. How many of you guys have ever looked at the sun and you see it through the clouds and you see these rays of beam that come from the sun right through the clouds? You ever seen those? Raise your hand. Occasionally you can see them from lights inside the home. But that is a picture of the Shekinah glory of God. And it's this picture so that when you think about God, and we're going to look at some Old Testament examples about this with Moses in just a moment. But when you think about God and all of His glory, and you look up at the sun and you see those rays, it should give you an idea of what to expect. when you see God. This bright light. This glorious being who is our Creator, and we can't even stand with human eyes to look completely upon Him unless He shields His glory from us. That's a very biblical stance, a very, very, very biblical way to look at it. If God in all of His glory were to walk into First Baptist Church this morning through those back doors, or some way or another He just appeared right here, you and I would have to close our eyes because we could not bear to look upon the glory of God. That's how pure it is. That's how pure He is in all of His glory. And so you remember in the Old Testament that Moses asked to see God. He's up on the mountain and there's this fire in this bush that had been created. And so Moses is talking to God and he just wants to catch a vision. Show me just a glimpse of yourself. And God is telling Moses, well, first, you're on holy ground. So he has his shoes off. Sandals, you know, and he's up there and he wants to see just the God's presence. And he asks to see God's presence. And he's like, you can't stand to see my presence, but I just need to see you. Just let me see a portion of your glory. Just let me see a little bit of who you are. And so this is what God told him, is to hide over there behind the bush. And he's hiding behind the bush. I'm going to walk in front of you. And as I walk in front of you, you can catch a glimpse of the backside of me. It was so transforming for Moses to be in the presence of God that when he come down off of the mountain, it looked like he himself had been in Florida on a 3-week vacation because his face glowed radiantly, having been in the presence of the glory of God. Isn't that a great picture? To be in the presence of the glory of God means that you are transformed, because I want to be honest with you, none of us could stand to be in His presence without being changed. To be in His presence, wow. The foundation of my fellowship with God is His nature, and His nature is light. And so this is what Jesus said concerning that light. He said this, I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In John 8, verse 12. Isn't that good stuff? Jesus is this light, and I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness. I don't know about you, but I don't like to walk in darkness. Why? Because I can't see where I'm going. As a believer, we walk in light. Why? Because the Scripture says that He is in the light. He is light. And if we are going to be Christ followers, if we're going to be in a relationship with Him that has fellowship with Him, then we have to understand a little bit about His nature. Amen? We understand that God is light. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness. Amen to not walking in darkness. Amen to not walking in darkness. So anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Light is really an amazing, hard thing to understand. And so I want to kind of, it's the only constant thing really in the universe, according to Einstein. And in fact, when he wanted to use something of constant to base the speed of everything else on, the theory of relativity, this is what he did. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Now, if you're a science guy and you come up and ask me about this away from my notes, I'm going to fail. But I'm telling you what I'm reading this morning, and it's good stuff, because this is what I know. If you're in a train and the train is going 50 miles an hour and you've got a baseball in your hand and you throw the baseball and the baseball goes 40 miles an hour, the baseball in effect is going 90 miles an hour, right? You get that. You can agree on that. But it's amazing that according to the theory of relativity, that's not how speed really, really works in the big scheme of things. And so kind of let me try and paint this picture. It doesn't have that kind of property. So according to physicists, if you're out in space and there are two spaceships that are flying straight towards each other, and each of them shoot a beam of light towards one another, then that light is going to travel at 186,234 miles per second. Do you get that? So if we were in space somewhere and I had a flashlight and I turned that flashlight on, that flashlight traveling at 186,234 miles per second is going to go around the world six times in 1 second and shoot a beam of light straight through me. That's how amazing light is, and that's the definition of the glory of God. God is light. Can you get that? God is everywhere, and even in me this morning, it should be evident. God should be, He should be lighting up your world, don't you think? I mean, if we as believers would take this relationship, this fellowship that we have with God the Father out into the world, then there's absolutely no way the people around us wouldn't be changed. Why? Because they would see the light of life shining through our hearts. They would see King Jesus represented in every decision that we made, in every step that we took. They would see Jesus in us. The world would be forever changed. What an amazing thought that is. And so light refers to God's glory, but also light refers to God's knowledge. Now, how many of you have ever struggled with making a decision? Gosh, I struggle with making decisions every day. Tracy asks me what I want for supper, and I just tell her, I don't know, or I don't care. And then she has to decide what we're going to eat. And because she has to decide what we're going to eat, usually if she's the one cooking, is Hamburger Helper. I don't like Hamburger Helper. I eat so much Hamburger Helper over the years that I feel like I ought to have stock in Hamburger Helper. So I just don't ask her anymore. And no, I'm kidding. She asked me, and we don't eat a lot of Hamburger Helper anymore because she knows that it's not my favorite. But that's okay. We're talking about knowledge and making decisions. And sometimes we're faced with difficult problems, and we need knowledge and insight, don't we? We don't always have the right answers, but there's one thing that I can tell you about God is that he never has an issue with making a decision. You know that? God is omniscient. He knows everything. He already knows the decision that I'm going to make. My next step, my next breath, the next words that are going to come out of my mouth, the next thought that's going to run through your head. God knows all of those things. Have you ever been trying to think of something? Trying to get things figured out, and all of a sudden you had that epiphany, a light comes on in your mind. You're trying to figure out a solution to the problem that you're dealing with, and then all of a sudden, aha! It's kind of like these commercials. You remember these Windex commercials we'll see on TV that the windows are so clear that the birds can't see the window and they fly into it, and then they have their aha moment that the door wasn't open, that there was really glass there. I think sometimes that's what you and I need. We have those aha moments. Maybe we're walking, we got our cup of coffee, just come off the elevator, and then all of a sudden we run right into that glass. We have that aha moment. That's what is needed for us. But this is what the Scripture says. Job chapter 21, verse 22. Scripture says this: Can anyone teach God knowledge, since He judges the exalted ones? Is there any advice you could ever offer God? Yeah, no. As a matter of fact, do you think, what are the chances that God is going to ever ask for our advice? None. Because God knows everything. God isn't struggling with knowledge, but light is in, it refers to the knowledge of God. And so as we think about God, understand that God is omniscient in all of His ways. Omni means all. He's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He knows everything. He's all powerful. That is the God of creation. That is the God of the universe. That is the God of anything that has ever existed or will ever exist. He is all, everything. That's God. And we're talking about light this morning in our fellowship and the basis for our fellowship with Him. And we understand that God is light. And in Him, this in Greek, it would be like a double negative in English. And I know that you've heard me share that before, but it really emphasizes the text. And there is no, absolutely not none, darkness in God. I don't know, that's probably three or four different negatives. But that's the reality and the power of God. God. And that's the picture that the Word of God, that He desires for you to understand about who He is. I love this scripture. Listen to Psalms 139, verses 2 and 3. Psalms 139, verse 2 and 3. You know when I sit down and when I stand up, you understand my thoughts from a far way. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Let me leave you with this before we move on. God already knows. Amen? God already knows. And so that brings me to the last thing that I need to share with you this morning. We're going to really try and get this thing wrapped up and packaged. But the last thing is, we're talking about the nature of God, and what light refers to is it refers to God's holiness. Yeah, that's good stuff. I don't care who you are, brother. That's good. God's holiness. And so the scripture says in verse 5, it says, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Morally, that's what light refers to. It refers to God's holiness. And so this double negative, as bad a grammar as it is, no, we're never supposed to use it. But in God, there is not never any darkness. Laura Andrews, that's good, isn't it? In God, there is not never any darkness. Not never, Keith. Not never. So if we turn the lights off in here, it's going to be dark. But with God, you cannot turn the lights off of His holiness. He will always and forever be holy. And when we stand in the presence of God, we always and forever stand on holy ground. Nothing we can do to change that, because God is holy. That is His nature. So what is darkness? Darkness is a lie from the pits of hell. Darkness is the devil. Darkness is sin. Darkness is anything that is not absolute truth according to God's standards. That's darkness. And it's easy for you and I to walk in darkness. It's easy for you and I to get our fill of this world and then to like it so much that it begins to kind of take on a little bit of, or we begin to take on a little bit of what the world is. But if we're going to stay in fellowship with God, then we don't take on the fellowship of the world. Do you see? We're watching a movie last night. Caitlin took me out for my birthday this week, and she took us to see Tomorrowland. And one of the things that I like, you've heard this old adage before, or this old saying, old Indian is out in his tribe, and he's talking about the difference between good and evil, and somebody asks him, well, which one of these dogs grows the most? And the old Indian says, whatever one you feed the most. And so we're watching this movie last night, and he's talked about wolves, said the exact same thing, but talking about wolves. And so which one of these wolves grow? The one where the world tries to pull you into itself, tries to change your thought pattern, your way of life, or the one where you're in complete and constant fellowship with God? Which one grows? The one you feed the most. So my question is, we're beginning to wrap this up, is which one of these wolves, which one of these dogs, which one are you feeding? See, my prayer is that you and I are feeding on the light of the Word of God. My prayer is that we understand how holy God is and how pure God is, and that we're feeding on Him. It'd be a great thing is, as believers, we would spend more time in Him and less time in the world, wouldn't it? It'd be a great thing. We wouldn't be the same. There's no way we'd be eternally changed. And so here's what the scripture says in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. Your eyes are too poor to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why? Why can't sin enter into heaven? Because God is holy. And as a result of Him being a holy, righteous God, He dealt with sin once and for all on Calvary's hill. Once and for all, sin has been dealt with. Sin reigns no more in heaven. Sin is gone. It's been knocked in the head. It's knocked out. And it should have no control over you and your life as long as you're walking in fellowship with God. So you've got to understand God's nature. You've got to understand that God is holy. And then last thing that I share with you, according to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, this is what the angels say. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the sounds of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Why? Because the presence of God had filled the temple. Holy, holy, holy. When we stand in the presence of God, I believe the people will say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Why? Again, because you will not stand in the presence of God without acknowledging His holiness. And so in closing, let me ask you, we're wrapping this thing up. We're trying to put some ends on it. What is the foundation of our fellowship with God? It's His nature. And as we think about the nature of God, we've talked about light. You remember as a child, Red Rover send Vanessa right over? Do you remember as a child we would separate ourselves in the neighborhood or on the playground, and we would pick captains, and as we pick captain, we would say, I want Brad on my team. I want Troy on my team. I want Keith on my team. I want Tracy on my team. We would pick who we wanted on our team. And we picked who we would want our team based most of the time on our relationship with that individual. If that individual wasn't someone that we spent a lot of time with or that we knew a lot about, right? You remember? Then we wouldn't pick them. Matter of fact, we wouldn't want them on our team. Well, God wants you on His team. He wants all of us on His team. So how do we get into the relationship with God? How do we enter into a fellowship with God? Because relationship through the blood of Jesus, you're in eternally. But fellowship is something that you can be in or out of. And so my question to you today was this. Concerning fellowship with God is, are you in or are you out? Think about it. Are you in or are you out? If Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, then you're in relationship with Him. But are you spending time in His presence every day? Are you communicating with God by humbling yourself in prayer? By talking to God? By pouring your heart out? By letting Him know what's on your heart? By hushing long enough for Him to share with you what's on His heart? Are you in fellowship with God? So maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with some things. I don't know where you are. I don't know who you are. I don't know what God is dealing with you about. But one way to for sure get that question answered is to make sure that you are in fellowship with God. And maybe you're here this morning. It has to be asked. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, preacher, I'm not in fellowship with God. Why? Well, because this is going on in my life, or because that's going on in my life. Listen, don't take this the wrong way, but so what? You get over whatever it is you're dealing with and you take it to God. You take it to the cross. And if you're here and you don't believe that Jesus is Lord and Savior, but right now he's burdening your heart, you can feel Him speaking to your heart. He's pulling and tugging on your heartstring, and you want to know how you can be in that kind of a fellowship with Him. Listen, it's acknowledge that you've messed up. It's not hard. Listen, as Paul said, I'm the chief among sinners. I do it all the time, often and a lot. But one thing I can tell you that I've been able to do is I've been able to confess my sin to an almighty God and trust Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And so maybe you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. First step is this. Acknowledge that you've missed the mark. Tell God you know you've messed up. Tell Him you know you're a sinner. Tell him that you believe that he sent his son to die on an old rugged cross so that your sins might be forgiven. Tell him that you believe that when he died, he was buried for 3 days, and on the third day, he busted the gates of hell wide open. Tell him you believe that today he is interceding on your behalf at the right hand of God the Father. You tell him today, and then you tell him you want him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. If you do that, you enter into relationship. And then as you enter into relationship, you learn to grow in fellowship. So where are you today? If you're a believer, then you're already in relationship. But fellowship, are you in or are you out? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, in the magnificent, most holy name of Jesus, today we come before your throne, and again we praise you for being our great God and King, the Savior of all of those who will ever or have ever call upon the name that is above every name. Name that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. Today, blessed Father, pray that you would have your way with our hearts. Those who are struggling with decisions, those who are dealing with, maybe they're dealing with marital problems, or maybe they're dealing with pornography issues, or maybe they're dealing with alcoholism or some kind of addiction. Whatever it is, Father, today I pray that in the power of Jesus Christ that you would remove that addiction from them as they enter back into that fellowship with you. Father, today, whatever decision needs to be made, we give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand during our invitation time? Would you come?